Psalm 119 is made up of 22 sections or stanzas. And now we're going to take a look at the 12th of the 22 sections or stanzas. Each stanza is associated with a particular letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and every line in that particular stanza begins with a word that begins with that particular letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So in this section, the 12th, every line, every verse in the original Hebrew text begins with the Hebrew letter Lamed, roughly corresponding in sound at least to our English letter L, but Lamed. And here we see a wonderful, wonderful declaration of the psalmist being saved by God's word that is in fact settled in heaven. So let's take a look now at the first three verses of Psalm 119, the 12th section, again, the section associated with the Hebrew letter Lamed. Verses 89 through 91, we read this. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. I love that phrase that begins this 12th section of Psalm 119. Maybe, and I know it's a hard comparison to make, but maybe among the 22 sections, this might be the favorite opening of all of them, at least in my opinion, perhaps. Verse 89, for ever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The psalmist here meditated on the unchanging nature of God's word. Because God's word is settled in heaven, it will not change on the earth. Now notice this line, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. The word of God is settled in heaven. Not merely settled in the heart or mind of the psalmist. It is objectively settled in heaven, whether the psalmist or anyone else believes it to be or not to be. If someone were to say to the psalmist, well, you say God's word is settled in heaven, that's your opinion. That's good for you. The psalmist would object most strongly that God's word is settled in heaven, quite apart from the opinion of any man. You see, if God's word is settled in heaven, it's beyond the reach of man. There is no human being who can reach up to heaven and unsettle God's word. Now, it is true that on earth, God's word is not settled at many so-called great seminaries and institutions of the world. I've got news for you. God's word is not settled at Harvard University. It's not settled at Tübingen or Heidelberg. It's not settled at Oxford. It's not settled at Princeton or Union Theological Seminary. No, there is quite a debate at the seminaries these days about whether or not God's word can be trusted. Matter of fact, there is no debate. Almost all of these established so-called great seminaries reject the settled character of God's word. They reject it as being a word from God at all, thinking only of it being a human invention. But listen, we don't care for any of that when we know forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now, in the previous section, section 11, verses 81 through 88, associated with the Hebrew letter Kaf, the psalmist confronted a lot of affliction and opposition. He did not forsake God's word, but he was clearly troubled. All of that has passed away now, coming into the 12th section. And the teachings of men change so often that there isn't even time to let them settle. But God's word never changes. And therefore, we can say, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. I hope you can cling to that. I hope it's settled in your heart. But let me tell you something. Even if it's not settled in your heart, even if it's not settled in your mind, it is settled in heaven. And this is a place of great confidence, great assurance for us. Charles Spurgeon, as you might imagine, said something quite eloquent on this. He said this, quote, "Sentiments fluctuate so constantly in this 19th century that I suppose we shall soon require to have barometers to show us the variations of doctrine as well as the prospects of the weather. We shall have to consult quarterly reviews to see what style of religious thought is predominant, and then we shall have to accommodate our sermons to the dictum of the last wise man who has chosen to make a special fool of himself. As for myself," Spurgeon said, "as for myself, I shall continue to be unfashionable and to abide where I am. Sticking in the mud, says somebody. Standing on the rock, says I." I love that quote from Spurgeon. And it's true. When we believe, when we understand, when we accept that God's word truly is settled in heaven, it gives us such a settled heart before him. You see, the psalmist also declared his belief that the word of God was exactly that, not the words of man, but the very words of God. He believed that the scriptures came from heaven and not from earth, that the scriptures came from the Lord God who reigns and not from mankind. The psalmist believed what the apostle Paul wrote hundreds of years later in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, this means something more than saying that God inspired the men who wrote scriptures, though we believe that he did. But God did more than inspire the men who wrote. He also inspired the very words that they wrote. We notice that it does not say all scripture writers are inspired by God, even though that was true. The statement doesn't go far enough. The words they wrote were breathed by God, and that's why we can confidently say, as Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Your word is settled in heaven." See, it isn't just that God breathed into the human authors. That's true, but not what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16. He says that from heaven, God breathed out of them his holy word. We also remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Jesus said that one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Now, when Jesus referred to the jot there in Matthew 5:18, he referred to yod, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It looks like half of a letter. And then the tittle is a small mark in a Hebrew letter, somewhat like the crossing of a T or the tail on a Y. You see, the difference between the Hebrew letter bet and the Hebrew letter kaf is a tittle, that little stroke. The difference between the Hebrew letter dalet and the Hebrew letter resh is a tittle, just a little stroke on the letter. The difference between the Hebrew letter vav and the Hebrew letter zion is a tittle, just a little stroke. And these are small, tiny, almost insignificant differences, yet Jesus said that even these smallest differences would not pass away from God's word. Jesus said that heaven and earth would sooner pass away than a yod or a tittle from the word of God. Truly, your word is settled in heaven. And if I might furthermore say, every pastor, preacher, Bible teacher should especially be able to say, your word is settled in heaven. Charles Spurgeon knew of some preachers who could not say that. He says of those preachers here, quote, They say that they are thinking out their doctrines. I would be greatly sorry to have to think out the road to heaven without the guiding star of heaven's grace or the map of the word. No gospel preachers, but gospel makers these men inspired to be. And their message comes forth not as the gospel of the grace of God, but as the gospel of the imaginations of men, a gospel concocted in their own kitchen, not taught to them by the Holy Spirit. It is the reverse of being settled in heaven. It is not even settled in the mind of its inventor. Indeed, that's so true. So, I know I've spoken a long time about verse 89, but you can see how I love that phrase, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." But now verse 90, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations." The psalmist believed that the settled word of God was a demonstration of the faithfulness of God, and that that faithfulness extends across all generations. We recognize the truth of this when we look at generations past. We trace the line of the amazing faithfulness of God to each generation, despite the worst impulses and the worst works of mankind. We recognize the faithfulness of God's word to all generations.